Are we being recorded?
It sounds like it.
Okay. As long as you heard it on your end, I don't really
I
care.
Heard it on my end. Don't worry. This is the first for me, so I'm swinging it.
Yeah, no, it's a good way to go anyway. Oh, fuck it.
Right.
Okie doke. Hey, grandkids, welcome to another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. It happens to actually be number 259, and for that, we bring in our new expert on both Main Event and NXT, Chris Calamita. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. Oh, boy. And the expert on Main Event, boy, where my life has gone.
Well, you know, I shouldn't really be an expert in the WWE at this point in my life, so.
Yeah, same here, I guess. But we're lifers.
Yeah, well, it's turned out to be that way.
Yep.
And, well, I did, you reinforced the Main Event, so I mean, I went to the SmackDown tapings yesterday, so, and I don't know why, I was still thinking that other shows got taped there on SmackDown, but yeah, it was just Main Event, and there was a dark match before it, I believe, because there was not a, did you, I'm trying to remember if you confirmed that, whether there was a match with Los Matadors against Damian Sandow and Heath Slater.
You were the one who saw it. But you're
well,
on
no,
line,
no, no. Did you
go.
Not actually watch a Main Event yet?
No, that match did not air. I assume that was a test to see how Sandow and Slater gel as a tag team, I guess, or just a match for the sake of having a match. I don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, I guess I was just, yeah, because I didn't watch the Main Event itself, but I felt like there were two matches that weren't on the card proper. That opener, I think, was just an opener to get everybody to do ole.
Yeah, very likely so. Any cool any spots with El Torito and Slater or anything like that?
Well, what did no, there really wasn't. El Torito and Hornswoggle got in a fight. Hornswoggle lost his hair again. Then I think they just kind of ran around the ring and ran up the ramp. And Sandow
right.
got distracted, and one of the Matadors rolled him up for the victory. The match existed. I can confirm that much.
Did Slater and Sandow show any potential of the team that you saw, or was it just basically like a comedy squash?
I'm trying to think if Sandow came out in anything like any goofy gear. But I don't think he did.
He didn't do like a Rock Band motif or anything like that?
No, not that I remember.
That seems like an obvious one, but it was a dark match, so I guess it didn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think Slater works fine by himself, and I think Sandow works fine by himself. So as opposed to many other times, I would be just completely fine if they stayed separate. There was someone I was thinking later in the night that could be using some tag teaming up, but they definitely were not going with that, so.
Right.
We can get to that when the SmackDown end of things starts. And then the first part of Main Event, really was Seth Rollins coming out and announcing the second Money in the Bank ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
For a traditional contract. And he is the first entrant into it. And since I've already seen it on other sites, I don't even care about talking about that. We can get to the actual spoiler part about 10 minutes into this puppy.
Right.
I'm pretty.
Well,
I'm excited about it.
What did you think about Seth's promo in general?
In general, I liked. I like what he's doing. I don't know if he's completely blowing me out of the water. Like, well, yeah, that's the way that I can put it.
He's doing well.
Dean Ambrose is blowing me out of the water. Like,
yeah, I'm liking this Ambrose thing. I think that some people are having issues with him. You know. Now his outfit is essentially a wife beater in jeans, but I like it for him. I like it for the quote-unquote lunatic fringe guy.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of the look. I think you could go elsewhere, but I'm not that offended by it either. And
right.
Definitely him dressing up that way for... I don't think he had a match until SmackDown.
Right, yes. He faced Kane.
Okay, yeah. So, but he came out in that outfit again, and it was just like, mm-hmm. Okay, that's what he's going with. So, hey, it's not jorts, so I can't really argue.
Right, and I did like that this week Seth was back in an all-black suit. Last week he tried the gray sports coat and it just did not work for him. He's a guy, he needs to be in all black. Okay,
yeah.
and I guess that ends the fashion review portion of this show. So what do you want to take to do? The first match on the show or?
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess I have one question for you. I mean, are you cool with having the traditional Money in the Bank
match on
the card too?
I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. I think that's exactly what they should do. I mean, it's pretty obvious that it's going to center around Seth and Dean. I imagine Kane might be in there, kind of like playing the spoiler, trying to screw over Dean and be in there as the authorities. Weapon to make sure that, you know, Seth just gets an easy way to win it, and then, you know, throw, you know, four other guys in there. I'm sure RVD will be in there, Ziggler, you know, guys like that. So, no, it's, you know, this paper is looking pretty solid. You know, you have the top two matches, they're going to be at least 30 minutes apiece, you know, with entrances, so.
Yeah. they're going to be pretty long.
Yeah. And the tag title match should be pretty good. So, yeah, I think this Money in the Bank show should be pretty tight.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then, yeah, with getting that out of the way, just so that we don't dwell on main event stuff for entirely too long.
Second main event, that only was about 10 minutes long.
Yeah, and this is just, I don't even care. Rusev beat Santino. You know, Rusev's squash matches are so short that they're kind of ridiculous. In my opinion, cause it's like kick and then camel clutch and then I'm out.
Right. No, but for facing Zack Ryder and Santino within a 24-hour period, it doesn't bother me at all.
I have no problem with the guys getting pinned. Everyone knows that Santino's a joke, and everyone knows that Zack Ryder is, too.
Right. So, no, it doesn't really bother me at all, especially since essentially Rusev on Monday suffered his first loss, you know, in a battle royal, obviously. But so it was a good win for him.
Yeah. So we had that, and we can really just move along after that, I think, right?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I mean, I'm just not a fan of Rusev yet. I think that battle royal on Monday was about the only thing that, to me, it started to show a little bit of spark because, you know, he did have to fight someone somewhat as equal. And
right.
I think that provided something a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. We'll try to get into that one.
Yeah, so another angle, well, that continued from Raw was the near breakup of the Funkadactyls.
Ooh, the big breakup of the Funkadactyls. Yeah, I'm not a fan of how they're doing this at all. I mean, you didn't watch the show proper, you know, on the WWE Network yet, but they actually had a part where they're talking about how Naomi was, you know, the announcers talking about how Naomi was criticizing Cameron's tactics in her match with Paige. Like, why is it so important to you? Because Paige is the Divas champion and Cameron wants to be the Divas champion, maybe? You know, it's just, I know this is going to be set up for Naomi to be the babyface, but, you know, in her actions, I'm kind of taking Cameron's side here.
Well, I just, I'm not sure why you take exception to those actions, because what, Cameron's doing to herself is she's just wasting her own time, really, if she thinks that slapping someone's going to be the offensive weapon that you're going to need as a professional wrestler. Even if you're in the Divas division, that's some pretty poor foresight on her. And I mean, I guess I don't have a problem with what Naomi's doing, really. Like, it, to me, it's they haven't. Oh, you know what? Maybe this is the better way to put it. I don't like Cameron on Total Divas. She just seems like a pain in the ass.
Oh, I love that crazy chick. She makes the show for me.
Well, there's a difference between making a show, in my opinion, and not liking someone.
Right.
You can completely not like someone and just go, God damn, that's the reason I'm watching this show, though. Like, they're such a scumbag.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're definitely going to get into somebody later who I do not like how they are portrayed on a Total Divas or any show for that matter. But we'll save that for the very end.
Yeah, I was just, if anything with this match, even the story was kind of the big part of the match, but I think another big part was the fact that Paige finally took a loss.
Yeah. Well, she took the loss, I think, to Alicia Fox, I believe, last month to set up their match at Payback.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, Paige definitely Paige took the loss here. I was not a fan of this match at all. I thought, like, the first half of it was just, you know, first month of wrestling school level stuff with them just literally trading moves back and forth, literally the same moves back and forth. I hated that. I got to be honest.
Yeah, well, I was just surprised, and I mean, I guess I didn't really pay attention to the complete quality of the match because it seemed like it was an okay match to me. I was just surprised. Mm-hmm. I'm like, they're still going? Like,
right.
It's one of those things that Naomi's kind of been out of the ring for a while at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how much she's training, or maybe she's just always wrestling on main event and I don't remember it.
Yes, they have been on main event a lot lately. But no, I thought when they kicked it up a notch, I thought the match, you know, ended fine, but I thought that filling out process, like in the beginning of the match, was just, you know, just the most basic level stuff you could possibly do. So yeah, it definitely
gotcha.
Went a little long, man. That was not necessary.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I was looking at my phone half the time, and B, the other part of it was my woman had to bail for a work dinner, so I had to take my neighbor. And it's always interesting when you take someone who doesn't watch wrestling to a live event.
Right.
It also takes up your time trying to explain things.
and then there's stuff like this that you don't even understand what's going on here, because right now I think this whole, you know, diva storyline, if it's a three-way storyline you want to call it with these three women, it's very shades of gray right now. You can see both sides of the argument. No one's a total babyface or a total heel in any of this, except maybe Paige. Paige is probably a total babyface, I guess.
And she was getting some good reactions from the crowd. Paige was that was another thing that surprised me. I mean, I'm not going to say it was over the top or anything like that, but it was more than I expected. Like, from what I've heard on TV, maybe that's what I should put it. From what I've heard, I'm just like, oh, whatever. She's just not getting anywhere. And it seems like she's at least getting a little bit somewhere.
Right. But I just think that someone in that back area is just doing her so wrong by telling her to go out there and smile. Just be happy to be there. I don't think that the WWE writers so far understand what Paige is supposed to be.
Well, they haven't given her any character at all.
Right.
It's hard to be something when you're not given, it seems, any direction. Like, she comes out and screams, and it's just like, okay. Like, is there something behind that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I mean,
if it was on NXT before, and it probably was, it's just like, okay, that's fine. But you really need to re-explain it. I mean, there's a reason why even Paul Heyman's like, my name is Paul Heyman. Like, the guy, it's like the first thing out of the guy's mouth on almost every one of his promos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you just need to remind people of what the hell these people are about. And I mean, yeah, no, I guess I
right.
just don't, I don't quite get it.
How many times
you know,
do we need to see the footage of of Rollins nailing Reigns in the back with a chair. you just have to, you know, repetition is the key, and that they have not done anything with Paige to make people understand, you know, who she is or why they should care about her at this point.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess that's why it's a little notable to me that she's really hasn't had any support to speak of, but she's getting support from the crowd. So that was a little surprising.
Right.
Well, the main event of main event was the three Wyatts against Sheamus and the Usos.
Yeah, very good match. Really not much to talk about it. Except it's just a good match. Your thoughts live?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's a good description because there wasn't anything, all that special about it, but it's not like cover your eyes awful. You know, it's just good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was entertained, I would say. So, you know, it's hard to argue. The only thing that I didn't like is that it seems like they're trying to turn Sister Abigail into an out-of-nowhere kind of maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that bugged me. Like, I can understand it with, like, the RKO and some other stuff that can kind of come out of nowhere, but that one to me, just because he's got to set the guy up and then spin him over, it's just like, well, you're stopping the guy. Like, you can't fight it off, especially in this situation where it's definitely hard to tell the Usos apart when you're, oh, I don't know, a couple of hundred feet away from the ring. And
right.
The guy had just come off of a hot tag or something, and all of a sudden he gets caught in Sister Abigail and he throws him down. I'm like, huh? Like, I know that that's the guy's finisher, and he kind of ran into it as he was trying to do a suicide dive or something like that. And, but it's just like he's got to stop the guy's momentum from going down in one direction and then take him over and face plant him in another direction. So, I mean, like, the guy's own momentum would carry him in a poor direction for you to execute the maneuver. So, I'm not that big of a fan of that move being used out of nowhere. I think it has a pretty limited clause in that department.
I don't think they've overused it yet. I've been liking it as an out of nowhere finish. I think most finishes should be out of nowhere that anyone can put on anyone at any time, and have it be the finish. I mean, if he put a guy in it and then kind of held him there and made him think about it like he typically does, you have the logical question of why doesn't the guy just stick a thumb in his eye unless he's already kind of out of it. So. No, I don't mind it as a finish, as an out-of-nowhere finish, I should say.
Yeah, no, because Mr. Morneau agreed with your point last night. He goes, I'm kind of fine with it. So, I mean, I very well could be in the minority on that one, which is fine. It's not like that'd be the first time that's happened. And then, since they had already told us that was the main event of main event, I was like, well, I kind of figured that Rybacksel came out, and I'm like, what the hell is this for? And they even still had the main event banners up on the video boards at the entrance. And they came out to be fodder to Goldust and Stardust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that is not on any spoiler listing I've seen, actually.
Yeah, well, Stardust, if I thought that Paige had good support, considering that she hasn't had anything, the fact that Stardust got as much of a response as he did, considering that he debuted the day before this taping, is quite impressive.
Yeah, I definitely, this idea has potential. I hope it's not just a transition to a Cody Rhodes heel turn, because we've been down that road before, and it just does not click. So I hope they stay together with this gimmick.
Because I'm trying to think of what else happened on Raw there that I was super annoyed by. Excuse me, because I don't think it was Stardust, although I kind of saw that one coming. I'm just trying to find it here now, so I'm trying to buy myself some time with some phone.
What was bad on Raw? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's just like, hey, read my mind. Oh, it was the whole, well, okay, yeah, it definitely wasn't it. It was a couple other things that really annoyed me that I think Adam Rose started to annoy me on Monday just because it was kind of a little ridiculous. But, yeah, the Stardust, it was pretty ridiculous live. Oh, that's what it is, really. I think the bigger problem that I have with it is that, and maybe that's what was clouding my judgment, because I don't think I liked Stardust all that much. It's just that Cody Rhodes has had, just like he had the vanity gimmick, and then he had the mustache. And then there was Rhodes Scholars, or Rhodes Scholars was before the mustache, maybe, or during, well, I think it was whatever. It was during that time frame. I think that kind of threw me off. I'm just like, oh, my God, this guy is just doing another gimmick. But it does get him on TV, and I'm all for keeping these tag teams together, really. Like, they don't need to have some gigantic tag team division, but if you have somewhere between 4 and 6 teams running at any point, you can mix it up well enough.
Agreed. I agree completely. I mean, we've seen what happens when they give Cody that single heel push. He ends up back in the tag team eventually, so let's just keep him in the tag team.
yeah, no, and I think he's always going to suffer little man syndrome from the WWE, too.
I don't think it's that. I don't think he has it to be a single star. But he's great in a tag team. I will give him that, and I like what they've done with the Roses so far. Well, that little bit of in-between that they've had lately, but not so much. Them getting kind of screwed out of a good spot at WrestleMania was definitely, I'm sure, a heartbreaker for them. But I think this has potential.
From the crowd reaction, it definitely has potential. There was potentially 7 people that can win the WWE title, and they all. Oh, actually, and before I do this,
are we even going to potentially lift the service of the possibility that Del Rio can win this thing?
Huh.
Are we even going to pay lip service to the idea that Del Rio has a chance here?
No.
Or Sheamus, for that matter, at this point.
Sheamus is too busy doing other stuff, which is just fine. If they actually, which they seem to have done, they've kept, and this, whatever. They've kept the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title on TV and at least seeming somewhat important here within the last, and I'm not going to go overboard here, but the last month or so.
Yeah, I think they're both on good champions for those belts to be on for right now.
There's no reason to have Sheamus cough up that belt for the big belt at the present moment. He can he can keep on going. And I'm trying to think of who the hell else is because I even stopped putting the people in there. Oh, it's Reigns and Wyatt and Orton and Cena.
And Cesaro.
That's right.
Yeah,
need to get 7.
There's definitely, I think, 5 viable potential new champions there. Which is more than in most matches like this.
The one thing that I was going to say that I interrupted myself is this is officially the spoiler portion of the show. If you did not pay attention to my Twitter or our Twitter, and if you don't want to know what happens on Friday, you can just go ahead and stop the show right here. Five Guys really potentially to have something of a shot. Would you have any rank for them? I know that Jeremy and I kind of talked, or Shahid and I, was it Shahid and I last week? Shit, I forget who I was with. But anyway, we kind of gave our quick thoughts on that. How would you rank your five?
That's a very good question. I think it's too soon for Reigns. We've just done Cena and Orton, but they will always go back on one of those two as old reliable. So I guess my number one would go between Cesaro and Wyatt, and you know what? I'm going to go with Cesaro.
Interesting.
Yeah, I see them going with him on this one. Then where this goes for SummerSlam, whether it's Daniel Bryan return or maybe even Brock, babyface Brock Lesnar, I don't know, but I kind of see Cesaro, maybe Bray Wyatt. I'd say Bray Wyatt the number two. Number three, Cena. Number four, Orton. Number five, Reigns.
Gotcha. Outside, I do think that Cesaro, probably of the three younger guys in that group, and I should really put some apostrophes on that since Cesaro is like 33 or in that area. Let me see. Oh, yeah, 33. I have my handy-dandy chart here.
Isn't Reigns in the 30s as well?
28.
Oh, he's 28. Okay.
Now, I do believe there are some other people that had, he might have had a birthday recently, so he might be 29. But, it was a whole different topic that I put down everyone's ages for a while back. I just never got around to using them.
But, for Reigns, I think that any time before WrestleMania 31, him getting the title is too soon.
Oh. Yeah, and I mean, he's just becoming a singles guy, and it would be a little crazy. Like, to me, it goes, I always think back to Ryback, and how some people wanted to have him get the belt. And I'm not saying that Reigns is going to end up like Ryback, because he has far more athleticism than Ryback's ever going to have.
Mm-hmm.
But
and he shows way more charisma in a tea party than Ryback ever would.
I just think that, just his career really is kind of young, even compared to, because Wyatt's kind of been around for a while, at least if you count the first NXT and then him being in the minors there, and I guess that'd be something I'd really have to look up. Is whether when Reigns started down there in comparison.
I'm pretty sure that Reigns did not have. Reigns may have had a year down there before they brought him up. It may not even maybe not even that long.
Yeah. Well, then that would be. Developmental territory is 2010 to 2012. So, Bray Wyatt, has had more time in the WWE. And it seems that they've, well, he obviously fell into this gimmick quite well. But that seems to be one of the things that they have problems with that from time to time. But, Florida Championship, 09. So not really that much extra time, an extra year. So, I guess they're both
Reigns definitely has more experience than I thought he did. Wyatt had the failed Husky Harris run that definitely went to TV way, way too soon. Well, actually, any time was too soon with that gimmick, but...
Yeah, no, he has had a little bit more on TV for sure. So I guess I'd still rank him experience-wise, even though it's a mere year, a bit ahead of Roman Reigns, because at some point something's going to go sideways for Reigns too. It's just that Wyatt had it go wrong right off the bat.
No, I actually don't see anything going sideways for Reigns. I think he's on the perfect trajectory to being maybe the next big star.
Well, again, I'm going to hold on that. But,
I'm not. He's my man crush.
Well, no. It's more about how SmackDown went is why I'm holding off on that.
Okay, we'll get to that.
So, as usual with one of these seven-person speaking segments, it ended in a brawl. Well, actually,
oh
it was
God,
only
really?
Six because Bray Wyatt didn't come down, so they just all paired off so that there was three guys against three guys. So, yeah, that was, that is probably to no one's surprise also that that all guys going for the WWE title ended up in a fight.
No, I'm shocked.
Oh, man. Also, not shocking, Seth Rollins, who now is just wearing tights and I believe some gloves because he finally got a new look, was taking on Kofi Kingston. Now, I know this is a toughie, but who do you think won this match?
Kofi?
Yeah. And if you believe that, I have some nice land to sell you.
Right.
So, yeah, and for whatever reason, in my night of tweeting, I decided not to print the results of anything that I found completely obvious. So, yeah, I did not announce the winner of this match because it's obviously Rollins. Dean Ambrose got a promo after that. And again, like, I thought Rollins did good on main event, but I think that Ambrose did a great job on SmackDown. And, I mean, his strong suit at the beginning was supposed to be his promos, and I don't know if he just wasn't into the Shield gimmick anymore or what was actually happening with him. But, I mean, I hadn't really thought I'd heard a good promo from him in a while. So I'm happy that since he's been in the singles ranks for all of about 3 weeks, that he seems to have...
Probably more like 3 days at this point.
well, no, it was at least 2 weeks ago that Rollins hit him with the chair.
Right.
2 weeks, yeah. So, yeah.
Well, Monday was the first time that Ambrose and Reigns weren't together at all. They kind of abruptly.
Oh.
They did a very abrupt split of them, you know, not even on the same page anymore.
Yeah, well, it did make it, everything was a little awkward because when you have a heel turn in a trio, you can't really have both of the ex-members, Reigns and Ambrose in this case, however you want to explain it, but you can't have both of them go after Ambrose in a match, especially when against Rollins in a match, because
right.
you can't have the authority figure who's protecting him being attacked two-on-one all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they have done the, to me, they've done the smart thing and just moved Reigns into Randy Orton territory, and they've bumped off Rollins and Ambrose on their own little storyline.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry about that. Got a yawn in there.
It definitely makes sense what they're doing. And yes, I definitely like what I've seen from Ambrose so far.
I don't know if there isn't really much more to say about that one. And again, I don't know what exactly wild hair came up my ass, but I think, and I'm not completely sure, that Dolph Ziggler versus Bad News Barrett was a match for a spot in the Money in the Bank contract match. I guess that's
I have not seen that anywhere listed anywhere else, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, I thought it was, but then I kind of, when you don't have the announcers, it really doesn't help you out.
Right.
Like, as much as I hate them, they do give out some valuable information that live crowds never end up getting.
Right. I'm gonna guess that it wasn't, and that they're both going to be in that match, because it just makes sense, because Barrett does not have an Intercontinental title feud right now, and Ziggler's made to be in ladder matches.
And he's made to lose to an Intercontinental champion too.
Correct.
But
he won this match.
Yeah, but I shouldn't say surprisingly enough, because the baby face that isn't really going to get over well isn't going to get over in the end always ends up winning the first encounter.
Very
so,
true.
In some ways, if they do want him to have, or those two to have a feud after the ladder match, you can always revisit Ziggler beating him and saying, hey, I should be the number one contender. And you go on from that.
Yep, I agree.
So for now, a
good win for Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not really surprised. I like Barrett in the ring. I like Ziggler in the ring. I like the match. So, I mean, it was. It's hard to argue with having that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the traveling circus, as I like to call him, Adam Rose, came out next against Titus O'Neil.
I'm sure that was a classic.
Yeah, it was a real barn burner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this Adam Rose gimmick is not translating outside of the cult following at Full Sail University at all.
Yeah, no, I didn't see it there, so I can't rate how it's translated, really. But it is just, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a real problem with it, but when people started mentioning how old he is and how he looks kind of out of place with the gimmick, I was just like, yeah, I can't really disagree with you. He looks like that guy. Granted, there's always those people, though, that have partied for too long, and you're just going, really, dude?
Right.
So, I don't know. People kind of, the live crowd liked him for the most part. So, you know, I think he still has a chance of getting over. But having him roll up Titus O'Neil twice really isn't going to do him any good. Like, it doesn't get him any in-ring credibility. Like, even though it's supposed to because he's beating a larger opponent, when it comes that easy to me, it just doesn't it doesn't do you any good, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, it just probably not a big win for Adam Rose there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I don't have very much to say about the show I haven't watched yet.
Well, you can chime in with whatever opinion you have on that person's gimmick, even though you haven't seen some of this. Seth Rollins, which will be another interesting thing. It might be the only part of SmackDown that I watch. Seth Rollins did commentary for the Dean Ambrose versus Kane match. And then this one, I guess, was a little surprising to me. And I don't know why, after ending up posting the spoiler for this one, is that Kane won over Dean Ambrose. I guess because Rollins is a heel, I expected him to interfere in the match.
Uh-huh.
And not just kind of distract Dean Ambrose to cost him the match. But it's been used plenty of times, so I don't know.
Oh, the distraction finish.
Yeah.
Didn't two out of the three matches on main event have a distraction finish? Not another. I'm thinking about it.
Well,
yeah, they are way overusing that.
Yeah, there was definitely the one at the beginning with the midget distraction, but that probably was not on television, so. There was that. I thought it was a little bit weak, I guess. Just because Rollins has it in more personally for him. Like, I can kind of do it if they aren't in a personal feud, but they're in a personal feud. So it's just kind of like, that's kind of weak sauce. You hate the guy. Fuck him up when you can.
Right.
And then
you got to rebuild Kane. He's only been around for 17 years.
Oh man. Well, he does need some wins from time to time. So it's, I guess it's okay with me. I just was a little off on how it happened exactly. And then moving along, this is one that I said that maybe this would work out as a tag team. I don't know what happened to Big E. Like, I honestly, it has to have been something backstage. Like, I don't quite understand his stock plummeting the way that it has.
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
But
I'm a big fan.
Zeb Coulter accused him of being in it with Lana, And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Even if they weren't a tag team, I guess, if they were just kind of like a mini faction or just, you know, Lana just had two wrestlers under her control, I could be more into that whole act. I don't know why exactly. I just think
it doesn't do anything for me, but okay.
Oh man, so,
I don't know what to do with BE now though. It sucks, and I really do like the guy.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know if it's just that they don't feel like his joking around online is translated on the headsets, which I don't think he's been that great.
No. That's a big thing. His sense of humor, his personality has not translated to TV, and that's a shame because he might be, other than the Iron Sheik, my favorite person to follow on Twitter.
Gotcha. Well, I'm noticing that, of course, we've probably talked for too long here. So let's, no one cares. Because it was a Big E versus Jack Swagger match, and I don't think that anybody cares about that match. Like,
yeah, we can breeze through the rest of SmackDown and then maybe reconvene later in the week or something and do a more general editorial show or whatever.
Yeah, no, because Fandango's in a love triangle, and of course you need to keep the Bo Dallas gimmick going. And he happened to keep it going against Fandango after his little incident that he had with Summer Rae.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part where I was saying just earlier, oh, see, that was really easy to get close to an end point. The main event was the four heels versus the three baby faces. And in my humble opinion, when Roman Reigns finally got tagged into the match near the end, that was the biggest pop of the night. And
from everything I've seen, that the match built to that point very well, and that match definitely was a spotlight for Roman Reigns.
Yeah, no, they had Cena and why am I blanking on who the other baby face is in the match? Sheamus and Cena really tagged in and out, and they kind of played up Reigns' frustration and wanting to get in. And, they did a good job, or they continue doing a good job, I should say, because it's not like this is the first time, of making him look like a monster. And it's hard to argue with. The guy really has a good package inside the ring. Like, I think he isn't as polished as Rollins, but...
Right. He's definitely not as polished, but he's probably more intense, more explosive, and has more of the qualities that will get him further as he develops himself.
Yeah, no, because that was one thing that it didn't dawn on me until this show. And maybe it was just because of the ring gear, maybe it was the way the Shield always came to the ring. It didn't hit me until they announced Seth Rollins for his match that he was 217. I was just like, damn, I had completely forgot he's kind of small.
I have noticed that he may be a hair taller than Triple H, actually.
Oh, Rollins?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he's not as wide. That's for sure.
Right.
And that makes a bit of difference just in the weight department. So, because who are we going to compare there? Oh, yeah, him and him. Okay, here.
Him.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking up. There's Seth Rollins in 6-1. Oh, for Pete's sakes. Okay, there we go. And they're listing Triple H as 6-4, at least in Wikipedia. So,
right.
Yeah, Rollins is a little bit smaller. But I guess that was not a little off track. But, yeah, I just think that Reigns is a bigger guy, and it's going to serve him well to be, you know, as he develops it. It'll work out pretty well. And I think that Seth Rollins can do quite well for himself, too.
Yeah, I see all three of them doing very well for themselves. Definitely better than they ever would have been if they never put them together. So the Shield was a great idea, a great concept, and a great executed run.
Yeah, no, and that's, you know, sometimes you just you need to break up the band before things get too crazy.
Right.
So, or get too long in the tooth. And they just, to me, they broke them up at just about the right time. So, yeah, no, it's pretty, Reigns was way over, which I can't say I was really surprised by, because they have been positioning him to be in that role for a little bit of time now here. Because really that whole Evolution feud, he was being positioned that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. And I think that about does it for the SmackDown spoilers. And you did want to talk about one person, so we'll go a little bit over the hour mark.
Oh probably. Yes, my feelings on Natalya. Oh my goodness! Now I'm going to preface this with I do not know Natalie Neidhart Wilson personally, so this is not an attack on her personally. And I also realize that, you know, Total Divas is a scripted show, but between her and the people doing the scripting, I don't understand how they don't see that this woman comes off as completely unlikable. Unless it's just me. I don't know. I mean, on NXT last week, there was this moment where she just said, where she was talking to, you know, Tyson Kidd and just, she just must have said "I," you know, 15 times within this conversation. It was absolutely ridiculous. I just do not like her betrayal. She just comes off kind of like that fake nice person, that person who's like, "I'm so nice. I deserve better than this." Ugh. She just bothers me. She just bothers me a lot.
Yeah, no, I don't. I really don't like her in a different way than Cameron. Like Cameron, that's just like, oh my gosh, you're really hot. Oh my lord, you are so not worth the effort.
Right.
And Natalya just is kind of like, I'm a heart. I deserve this.
Yeah,
and I think that,
over and over, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Okay, you have probably the best technical wrestling for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and she's in an NXT TakeOver, without a doubt. Maybe the best women's match in WWE history. I'll give her... I will give her that credit without a doubt.
But, you know, that only gets you so far. Like, she doesn't have, almost everyone that we've talked about tonight, there's some type of flash in their matchups, whether it's Ambrose or Rollins, Reigns, you can even say that Cena is flashy from time to time. You know, everyone kind of has something. They don't have that style. And, I mean, I think that she needs something else to, you know, she doesn't quite do a power diva style. You know,
yeah.
There's just something off with her that prevents her from being, and that's what annoys me about her, is that she's always just like, I should have the title. And it's just like, why? Like, every time they send her out there on the microphone or on the headset, she just gets destroyed by the commentators.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
she's terrible.
Go
ahead.
No, okay. It's one of those things where I keep on, with Alberto Del Rio, I kept on asking, why is this guy getting chances? And he's finally out of chances. He's just kind of hanging around in there just because they needed someone.
Right.
But,
yeah, he got that spot when they still thought it might be just for the briefcase.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, if he was in the briefcase match, he would have a completely different odds of winning. but to get back to Natalya, their comparison, like, I don't think she has a job unless she isn't a heart. Like, as many chances as they've given her over the years, she has just gotten a shit ton of chances, and the only reason she's sitting there is because of her name. Like, it's not because, you know, that name works both ways for her. Like, I think that she might have more to live up to, or they expect more out of her. But she's also not delivering on the name either. So it's just like, I don't feel bad. Like, Bret Hart was never the best guy on the mic. So granted, that's also not her father. So.
Right.
Yeah, no, I just don't like her because she comes off not like privilege, because you even mentioned it. She seems like a very nice person, and like she doesn't want to step on anyone's toes, and she doesn't want to get all bent out of shape about shit. She does, but, you know, she seems like a perfectly decent person for the most part, but it's just like, no, like, you don't get by just on your name. Sorry, Toots.
Whoa. You worked in the Toots. Wow. You really took that over from me. But no, it's just, she does definitely, there's definitely something missing. I think that they should go with her as a heel. I absolutely, you know, an entitled, selfish heel. Because I think that's how she comes off sometimes.
Oh. Gotcha. Yeah, no, I mean, that would be an interesting thing to try. But considering that Cameron is going over the dark side, I think that possibility is at least out for the time being.
Yep. And so, yep, Natty will continue to be the bane of my existence. But as long as she can put on some decent matches, it won't bother me as bad.
Oh, man. Well, that's a fair enough point to stop on, my good sir.
Yep, well, thank you very much for having me. Hopefully we can do this again.
So there's always the Plug Festival with that Sun Granny, at DeFrango 11, at Shaw Fom D, at Granny Maze, at Stunt Dusty, at Chris Calamidia, and that's Calamidia, if I am spelling things correctly.
Yes, that is correct, but who knows? I might change it to Media at some point, or change it to Chris Calamidia. I'm not really sure.
Yeah,
there might
well,
be some rebranding going on over here, but and I will keep everyone abreast of that.
Outstanding. Do you actually want to take the show out?
Sure. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin, for having me, and thank you all for listening. Please send your constructive feedback, and I will definitely listen to it, and I will try to do better.
Next time, and that's for Dustin.
Exactly. Oh, I stole your line, didn't I? Sorry.